QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net, the 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communication. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, got one announcement here. This is for the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. The final approval for having their field day, this will be on forest property, has been approved by the local forestry service. So the site that they were discussing, or we have been discussing, has been approved, and that is where field day will be. So stay tuned for more information about that, but final approval did come in today. All right, topic for this evening will be polls from the May QST. This is a little more computer-oriented than anything else, more than radio, a little electronics and computers together, and basically, that's what radios are built of, more so than anything today. So this is kind of neat, little experimenter interface. It's on page 39 of May, called Microcontrollers, No Experience Necessary. So we'll explain this, and this may be a two-weeker, but yeah, we'll get started on this week. All right, anyway, let's do our net, though, and then let's start out with WB6CLZ Mike.
Good evening, Tom, and the net, WB6CLZ. We're in Placentia.
And good evening there, Mike. Glad you could be out there this evening. Hope the signals are getting to you just fine. How about WB6CIN, Cindy?
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
And good evening there, Cindy. And by the way, great artichokes. Thanks for giving us a couple of those. Great garden, great artichokes, great food. All right, next I have on the list is KA6CIA George.
Good evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
And good evening there, George. Hopefully it's not getting too hot down there for you. All right, next I have KJ6ACS Mike. And an error there from Mike. Let's move on to WA6ITC Rod.
Yeah, from Mike Williams. W6ITC.
All right, Rod. Good error information for you. Finally found out that gentleman that is control of that site you were looking for your repeater is somebody I've known for 2 or 3 years. Anyway, I'll fill you in more later on. Got some good information, not all the information, but just some good information. So, anyway, we'll get to that later. Next, I have KJ6FIL Mike.
Good evening, KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there from Redlands. How about KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary?
This is KJ6KDK.
And
KDL. Ah, Jim, good to hear you out there in the background. Rosemary, glad you could check in. I know Jim's working overtime and his scramble mode there is not. doesn't work great. All right, next let's move on to KI6IQA, Kelly. And nothing heard there. How about K6GVL, Ron?
Good evening, Tom and Ed. This is K6GVL, Ron from Green Valley Lake.
And glad to hear you out there, Ron. Hopefully not much interference this evening, I hope. Next, I have AD6PL, Harold from Riverside. Alright, not hearing Harold out there yet. Sure he'll join us. Next, I have KJ6PYV, Dave.
Good evening, Tom and the Net. KJ6PYV from Sugarloaf.
And good evening there, Dave. Glad to have you out there. See, I think Judith and Ken are out of town, so we're going to kind of skip them there. How about K2BBL, Alan and Moonridge? Right, not hearing Alan out there yet. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, K6YNW.
And good evening there, Chris. Glad to have you out there listening in today. How about W6POO, Chip?
Good evening, Tom, in the net. W6POO here in Palm Springs, where it's a balmy 92 degrees.
Well, Chip, glad to hear you out there. And 92, well, I guess that's not too bad. However, it is 7 o'clock at night. Whoa, getting that time of year again, I know. Next I have is KD6LAN, Bill. And nothing out there. How about Ron, WA6HF? Nothing heard there. How about WA6DLV, Donna? Nothing heard. How about NQ7RD, Rick? See if Rick's out there. All right, nothing heard out there from Rick. Let's move on to AE6CK, Victor.
Good evening, Tom and the group. Victor, Santa Fe 6.
And good evening, Victor. Thanks for being out there. Kind of back up, I missed a guy here. How about KJ6RAY, Ray? Okay, not hearing Ray out there. How about KA6ROD, Rod from Moonridge? No Rod this evening. How about K9AOG, Steven? And nothing there from Steven. How about W6JET, Rob?
Good evening to the net. W6JET, Temple City.
All right, Rob, glad to hear you out there. Went by your house the other day. It was still there. I guess that's good news. Anyway, just have to be going up high, and everything was fine. All right, that's pretty much the names on the list. Is there anybody out there who would like to check in as a guest to Tech Tuesday? Please come back now.
86 deal.
Gotcha, Harold. Checked in. Thanks for being out there. Anybody else?
KJ6DCT.
All right, glad to have you with us this evening. And anybody else?
KE6TLT.
Good evening, TLT. You've been with us a few times. Glad to have you coming back. Anybody else?
WA6, Mike Queen Fox.
Bob, I'm sorry. I forgot to remind you, so you didn't forget to remind me not to forget. Thanks for being out there, Bob. WA6MQF. Anybody else? All right, well, that's good. Anybody else out there listening? Of course, you can always jump in for questions in the question and answer area, time period, or suggestions or thoughts or whatever. Very open net. So anyway, let's get started this evening. And what we have is this article this evening, very oriented into the electronics experimenter, tied in with a little bit of computer. And you can actually get started with this without having any experience, which is the title, Microcontrollers, No Experience Necessary. Well, anyway, they are working with some Arduino products, but we're going to also just kind of get some background here on all this good stuff. So stand by, and we'll get started with a little bit of explanation. Well, in the first place, the microcontroller, by golly, what is that? Well, microcontroller, we all know that our computers have a brain, and that's what makes them work. Pentium, Pentium 4s, Pentium 3s, all that good stuff. That's your CPU type and style, and that's what's the brain inside your computer. But, guess what? Microcontrollers, or CPUs, or whatever, can be used in many, many different things and have been actually used in many electronic products for actually decades now. So we're going to get into this and how we've used these now and who's got a few products out there to help you if you want to experiment. Hey, this is like experimenting with electronics on steroids. The reset. Well, anyway, computer programming. Whoa, didn't want to scare anybody away, but I had to say it. There it is, I said it. In programming a computer, of course, can be daunting, be quite a task, but these little microcontrollers have made it easy for you to do that, and they do come with a thing called an IDE. Well, I'm going to hand this over to Mike. Mike, IDE. Obviously, I've heard this term. What is an IDE?
Tom, that's an integrated development environment, and it sets up your communications with your PC, and usually it uses the USB port. That's a little basics. Let's give us some more information on that. Computers is not my forte, but I know it's yours, so fill us in a little more, Tom.
Well, an IDE, if you were going to write a letter to somebody and you fire up your computer, well, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to probably bring up a program like Microsoft Word or WordPad or Text or something like that, because you're going to use that Microsoft Word to type your letter. Well, that program would be like an interface, because now you have lots of tools. You have editing tools and spell checking tools and all kinds of tools to write a letter or whatever. And actually, because of that whatever part, you can do a lot of things with Microsoft Word, but basically that's your interface. That's what an IDE, a development environment, is essentially a program or set of programs and tools to let you develop the program that's going to control this microprocessor. Let me reset. The good news is that a lot of these IDEs are free. Basically, the company that manufactures the product, well, they want you to buy this product, and they want to make it very easy for you to use this product. Therefore, once they've, you know, perfected their IDE, their little toolbox, per se, why not make it free? Everything else, the more that's free, the merrier, of course, and getting down to actually the product. Some of them even offer some of their products for free as a sample. But anyway, that's a whole other different thing. Let me reset. And the good part is a lot of these IDEs, interface or integrated development environment, very fancy name, basically, for a toolbox. And it helps, this IDE is actually going to help you program. And Mike, just real brief, what would you, I know you're not a programmer or working with that, in what you do know, what would you say to you, what is a computer program, what does that mean?
Basically, that is everything that makes the computer work. I mean, program tells the computer what you want it to do. I would think that's it in basic language.
And you said a key word there, basic, which actually is a language, a computer language, but we're not going to get into that yet. Essentially, yes, it's a set of instructions. A computer program is a set of instructions. Let's say if you're going to write yourself a to-do list for today, you're going to, let's say you've got to go to the barber, and then you have to swing by the grocery store, you want to make sure you go to the lumber yard, you have this set of instructions. So basically, you can refer back to this set of instructions of what you're going to do, and that's fine. Well, a computer has to have a set of instructions because it doesn't know what it's going to do. So the set of instructions is basically something that we write, and it can be very simple, but it's some basic things of what you're going to have it do because the computer has no idea what it's supposed to be doing. So with that in mind, we have what's called a computer language, and there's many of those. Let me reset. And yeah, you know what, Mike? If I told you, hey, we've got to go learn every language spoken in the world, besides rolling your eyes back or just shaking your head no, I mean, that would seem like a daunting task. Mike, I mean, how many languages do you know? I know English and a little bit of a few things, but that's it. I'm going to hand it back to you just real quick, Mike.
We're real basic. I mean, English, a little bit of Spanish that I need to get by, a little bit of Vietnamese that I need to get by, and International Morse Code. I consider that a language. That's about it for this guy, Tom.
And actually, Morse Code is a language because basically it's a whole set of characters there. So, well, anyway, with computers, there are a lot of languages. But if anybody out there knows anything about linguistics, Latin, a lot of the languages were derived from Latin, and I've heard it said many times, if you learn Latin, you've learned the basics of a lot of the languages spoken today. Well, anyway, enough of that. Let's get back to the computer programming, the computer languages. And basically, there's only so many different things that decision-making or arithmetic or things like that that the computer is going to actually do. It is a good size list, but it's basically this simple list. And different languages, well, basically, they're just going to have a way of saying the same thing. A lot of them are very similar. A few of them have a few idiosyncrasies. Let me reset. But all in all, if you get started with a very simple programming language, it's basically simple instructions, and that's that. Well, of course, you know, we have to have this, type this letter. We're typing actually a work list of what to do list for the computer. Of course, then what happens with that? Well, this great little integrated development environment, it actually has the area for you to type this in. It'll spell check. It'll kind of check, make sure you don't have mistype an instruction. And then you push the magic button, and it puts it all together as a computer program, which is like Microsoft Word, Microsoft WordPad, all that's a program, and it's all ready to go. Little difference here, though. We're going to step into this right now. The difference of this with this, of course, is we're going to have the computer interface to the outside world. We all kind of know what a USB plug or cable is. We can plug that USB cable into, we can plug in a little flash drive, thumb drive. We can plug in a printer, even plug in a mouse and a keyboard with that thing. But what happens if I want to plug that USB into, say, my thermostat on the wall? I don't know. Can I do that?
Throw that over to me, Chop.
Yeah, I mean, basically, if we were going to plug a USB into a thermostat, listen, it's got there's a new one out there. There is no way to do that, and we're kind of stumped there. Or if we were going to plug a USB into a battery or something like that, it just doesn't mix. It's like oil and water. It's worse than oil and water. So up comes our interfaces, and that's what we're getting to here. Basically, the USB is very common as an interface, and this language will send out commands to that interface that's hooked up through the USB, and now we can have it do stuff. Mike, let's just step back a little bit. Computer-aided, CAT. What does that mean? CAT with radios.
Most of you have heard of probably the most popular interface, and that uses Ham Radio Deluxe. You know, a computer-aided, a CAT interface is a computer-aided tuning, and it basically connects your computer to the ham radio. If you've got an RS-232 interface, you can just use a serial cable, and a lot of the new computers don't, though. So for other rigs, you're going to need, like, a proprietary interface. I know my K3 uses an FTDI chip in an interface, and it's got opto-isolators in them, and it's completely isolates it from the actual radio to the interface itself. That's a start. Let's go a little further with it.
You know, and Mike, that's exactly right, and that's what we're doing here. We're going to use this computer-aided whatever with controls into the tuning. We're going to use that kind of a purpose of all this, because there is a very good purpose that's been pushed to the max. Well, we have a couple things that are needed here. Number one, the radio has to be able to be controlled. There has to be a way to plug it in. I have an HT. That won't happen with that HT. But I've got other radios, and they do. So the first thing is the radio, of course, has to be designed for that. And it's going to send signals. And then basically you have to have the connector cable, in this case, whatever it may be. And then it hooks to the computer, but it still won't do anything unless you have that magical program running. And that magical programming was probably developed by an IDE or something. And basically, it's a set of instructions so that you click on this, and it makes the radio do that. And Mike, it's pretty much that simple. Back to you.
Well, yeah, that simple, a little more to it. You have to have your radio grounded to your computer and things like that. But, it basically is that simple. I've used it before on both of the radios, and, very cool.
Well, anyway, this is kind of like a really basic interface. We're using, you know, the computer and using a program that's already done. You don't have to write this program. It's already done for you. And it's ready to go, and it works with a lot of different radios, most probably, if not all. So there's a good application. So anyway, but if we want to get away from a little bit of radio, we're just kind of like an electronics experimenter, or maybe we want to interface something. We did talk a while back, and anybody who is out there listening in, we did talk about basic voltmeters and how they have programs that come with them now, and they have a little storage and monitoring features and all that cool stuff. And here again, Mike, here's where the program's already been written, the cable is supplied to us, you know, usually by the little meter company, and we're able to measure stuff and record it over time. And that's a very good use, too. Let me reset. So with that's kind of neat. Well, there's a lot of other things we can do. We can measure temperature, we can measure humidity, we can measure wind speed. These are just a couple of weather-related things. We could actually measure daylight hours, intensity of sunlight. I mean, basically, the sky is the limit. And you can measure the sky, as a matter of fact. With all this said and done, if you're out there and you don't have this reason or purpose or cause, then I guess this really wouldn't matter. But it kind of opens up a lot of doors of other things to do. And Mike, real quickly there, I mean, he's using this thing called Arduino. Arduino is kind of a trade name. And when's the first time you've heard of Arduino?
Actually, the first time I've heard of Arduino is when I opened my May QST, and I see three pages of it. So that's my first introduction, and this is it, Tom, other than what I've already read.
Well, Arduino is somebody who's actually, it's a group that has basically come up with some boards, some interface boards. These little boards are already made, and they have places you can hook stuff up to them. You can control things with them, or you can measure things, or you can change, you know, analog signals to digital and vice versa, and all that. So these boards are kind of like an interface, and they're already built for you. There are other boards that you can actually make yourself, but this is the basics. So without knowing how to make a board or what to put on it, you can buy these. I know Radio Shack has a lot of this stuff, and of course you can find this stuff anywhere online. So let me reset here. is, once we hook this board into the computer through that very popular USB cable, and that's usually how they interface now, so that's very handy, what's your computer going to do? It's going to say, hey, okay, here I am, and there it is, and that's it. So the next thing you have to do is be able to tell that little board what you want it to do. And let me reset here. A lot of that is, there's a lot of little things already made up, and it's IDE, this little helper program, to build your what you want it to do and how to control things. And with that said, they also have a thing called a library. And a library actually already has stuff written for you. It's really cool. So you don't have to know a lot. You have to know some just really simple basics that are, you know, something that you can basically learn from going through this stuff. And use these libraries are like actually having a term paper that's already written for you. You pick this one, hey, you know what, that's the one I need, this is what I want. You plug it in there and bingo, it works. Mike, wouldn't that have been great years ago? Back to you real quick.
They may have had a decent degree then. Hey, you know what we didn't do, though, Tom, is we didn't give a description of an Arduino, and that basically is a... Oh, I said basically again. I got in trouble for that. My wife just came over and tapped me on the head. It's an open-source electronic prototyping platform, you know, so that's kind of cool. I know that they're 20 euros now, and that's about 26 bucks, so that gives you a little basics on that. Back to you, Tom.
Well, you know, that's pretty cool. I mean, that would be something like, well, if we could interface an antenna analyzer, you know, back this thing, we say, okay, well, maybe we can have the Arduino, you know, check the voltages going to here and there, or you could actually measure SWR and send it into this Arduino. You can actually, then your computer is going to save all this information. You can actually do all kinds of really cool things. As you start to think about, you know, well, if I could do this and that, next thing you know, you're doing all kinds of stuff. And you said it right there. That's the key word. It's a development platform. And it has development platform areas for writing the software. But like I said, if you're not working well with software on writing, until you do, there's like little plug-and-play, little library things that'll get you by. Let me reset here. So with all that said, obviously we already know what computer control radios can do, and we also know that we can measure stuff, but delving out there into the experimenter world of electronics, and electronics is the heart of radio. So using the computer, which is just about on everybody's radio shack now, just about everybody's got one, you know, it doesn't matter. It could be a box computer, an old computer. That's the key thing here, Mike. I don't think we have to have a real fast and the newest and latest and greatest. I think just about any computer will work as long as it's got a USB. And what do we do if we don't have a USB on our computer, Mike?
Well, I think we better have a serial port then. And if we use a serial port, then that's what we would be using, I think. Back to you, Tom.
Roger that. And I'm not sure if the Arduino actually has a serial port. But you know what, there's always a way to make stuff work, and actually just about any computer out there, USB goes way back, oh my gosh, into the, I think, mid-1990s, somewhere around there. So if you got something newer than the mid-1990s, more than likely it's got a USB port. Doesn't have to be USB 1, 2, or 3, it could be any of the three, and it'll work fine. So, well, anyway, Mike, let's just see if there's any questions out there so far. Anybody with any questions on what we've discussed so far? Please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Comments?
Bob, go ahead. Comment, go ahead.
I had the blessing, maybe, of working for a company that wrote interfaces and hardware for computers. And so let me fill in a little bit on the hardware side of what's the heart of any of these, like the PIC or any of the small systems are. The hardware is basically a one-chip computer. It has a process central processor that does binary math. As far as the computer hardware is concerned, it only knows ones and zeros and absolutely nothing else. The software converts the ones and zeros to language, to controls, to counting, to dividing, and everything else is a software function, and the processor does binary math. And the USB, the serial ports, both of them, reset, are one way of controlling. The other way of controlling is parallel. And these controller devices are set up to do either. Like Tom said, serial is how you send instructions in or you read data out. And if you're all the modern radios, in order to talk serial to control your radio, the radio has to have a computer in it. If you can want to do things with parallel control, like turn a light switch off and on, the light switch doesn't have to have a computer. You can do that with just a single wire. Anyway, and the software and this development platform has helped you create your list of instructions so the magic box does what you want it to do. Back to you, Tom.
Very good summary there, Bob. Appreciate that. This is KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group for ID. Another thing, too, anybody out there has ever worked with a lot of HP equipment, which is now Agilent. HP, for years, had their own little language and interfacing between their different pieces of test equipment, and they were actually little processors inside, and they could actually be controlled and whatnot, and that goes way back. So the concept isn't new. It's just some of the new hardware is up to date. And with that, now it's being out there in the experimenter market, so we can kind of play around with stuff and have a lot of fun. Want to get into a couple things, though. Arduino is something fairly new, but the concept isn't. Mike, there's a couple other things that have been around before this. PIC is one, and then Basic Stamp is another, but let's start with PIC. These are actually chips, but Mike, what did you find out about the PIC? We've all heard of PIC or PICAX. What is that?
PIC is a family of modified hardware architecture microcontrollers, and they were originally made by Microchip Technology. And they're popular with both the industrial developers and hobbyists because of their low cost, wide availability, and a larger user base, and an extensive collection of application notes, and low cost or free development tools. So, yeah, that's basically what we're talking about when we're talking about a PIC.
You know, and actually, if you look into some of the new stuff that's published by the ARRL and a lot of the new stuff out there, there's a lot of little miniature little projects, or some of the projects that they have in QSD and have had for some time, they will use one of these PIC they're actually just a chip, a little large integration chip. And the cool part is it's got the processor, it's got the memory, it's got actually all kinds of cool stuff all built into one, and it's got an area that you could write a program and store it in there, and then you say, hey, you know what, I messed up. That program's not going to work right. So you can change it. Once you program it, you can erase it and rewrite it, and pretty much an unlimited amount of times you can do this. So that's pretty neat. Use a PIC programmer. It's a little piece of equipment that you can buy or build to actually send this set of instructions. But you can actually develop the program on your computer, kind of simulate it with, we're going to call it like a virtual machine type thing. And you say, oh, you know what? If this does this, this seems to work. And then you throw it in there, and if all works, everything works fine. And there's a PIC. But then, no. Okay. Well, what is a basic stamp? Wait a minute, a stamp like I put on my envelope?
Oh, I don't think so. Basic stamp is a single board computer, and it runs the Parallax T-Basic language interpreter in its microcontroller. And it's got like its developer code stored in an EEPROM. That's bottom end of that. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, if you were actually to take the shell off of one of these things, it's going to look like a little integrated circuit again, just like the PIC. But they've gone a little bit more here. This also has memory. It also has that processor. But if you took the cap off, you'd see that, like you say, it's a little miniature circuit board in there. It's got a bunch of little chips, all this stuff in there. And it has its own language called PBASIC, but if you ever did anything in BASIC, the language, there's just a variation of that. And then it knows how to convert your English into its instructions with a thing called an interpreter. All the stuff built into this tiny chip. My gosh, Mike, this thing must cost a fortune.
Oh, not really cheap. Just under $40, though. And for just under $40, sounds like you're getting a lot for your money.
Yeah, and like anything else out there, of course, you know, there's a lot of stuff on eBay, and a lot of this stuff depends on what version it is and all that good stuff. But as far as how fast they run, you know, we're all looking at, you know, newer computers run faster and better. Well, keep in mind, all the stuff that we're dealing with here has to interface with the real world in real time. So it could do a billion operations in a second, but it doesn't matter because flipping a light switch on and off or measuring the temperature doesn't require that type of speed. So with all that said and done, they're fast. They're fast enough. Pretty neat. Mike, did you have a chance to look at pickaxe, or do you want me to take that?
Tom, I never did get to pickaxe. Didn't get that far. Go ahead. Thanks, Tom.
And, you know, here, this is another pickaxe. Boy, what a really sense of humor naming these, don't they? And that's PICAXE, like it sounds. This is Microchip's range of picks. PIC is actually a type of device. Pickaxe is actually a product name, like 3M Corporation has Scotch tape. I think that's right. Or maybe a Scotch Corporation. I don't know. Anyway, that's a trademark name. And basically, made by Revolution Education is, the actual developer of that. And here again, all doing the same thing. You can probably get a very good explanation of these from Wikipedia, but all these different things out there. And they're actually, some of the devices are very cheap. I'm going to say under $10. Some are more expensive because they do more stuff. With all this said and done with, there you go. I mean, we're on our road to just about designing anything. Well, I haven't heard from Jim out there. Jim, real quick, I know you've been tied up with work. I don't know if you can break away from what you're doing there for a second. Anything else you'd just like to add so far? Oh, I think he's locked in with his work. That's okay. We'll get back to Jim in a bit. Anyway, with all this stuff, this is actually what this article is about. The gentleman here, and we're called Roger Shipley, KA9. NAH, basically great article here, and he's actually using the Arduino products, and of course he does explain how basically you can use different pieces, different things, and he takes it step by step, and it's really worth reading. With that, a lot of people say, well, I'm not a computer programmer, so I just can't do that. Well, you'd be surprised. If you can write yourself a to-do list in the morning and actually successfully complete the items on that for the day, you've just done it. You wrote the basic program itself for the human being, which is basically probably the most, bizarre machine out there. Like anything else to add?
You're giving me confidence because I can write a to-do list, and I can do most of them. So, hey, I'm a candidate. Back to you, Tom.
You know, a little background here. The language called BASIC is just that. There's C, there's Java, there's all kinds of, you know, languages out there. And some are very powerful, have a lot of control. You get to the heart of the computer and just have it just about stand up and dance. But then there's other ones that do the, you know, real simple instructions, really simple to learn. And that's actually, BASIC was designed around that to start, and trust me, BASIC has been around for a long time. So There's a lot of variations. The variations are just that, very simple, minute changes that you can, you know, pretty much adjust to. But with that, real simple things and a real simple set of instructions, Visual Basic, a very good product by Microsoft, is out years ago, still out there, and essentially gives you some very quick steps how to control lots of stuff. Let me reset here. Now, the flip side of that, of course, all of these languages have their more powerful side, and you can actually get in depth of them deeper if you choose and really crank up the power. But if you just want to get some simple things done and be able to just to monitor, maybe you've set up some kind of sensor and you want to check that out, or maybe you just want to keep track, how cold did it get last night, what time was it, you know, something like that. Obviously something very simple. And you can do that. Of course, you don't need to do all that we're talking about tonight just for that. They make doggone weather stations that will do it for you. But the application is unlimited. And, you know, with the computer, you could have it automatically send that information to your smartphone or log it away someplace or who knows. There's just post it to a website. And believe it or not, a lot of our popular weather info is done just that way. Let me reset. KO6Q Tech Tuesday and the group. There's a lot of automated weather stations will basically do that. They'll keep track of all the information, and then they will periodically update or update on the fly. This is done with actually all the information for the weather for airports, like even here at Big Bear Airport. All this stuff is out and then updated and broadcast out over the air, all automatically. It's fantastic how this stuff works. So many, many applications, limited only by your imagination. Anyway, we'll break real quick here for any other questions or comments. Please come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group. All right, no questions so far, which is good, I think. Anyway, well, Mike, I know this is probably something new to a lot of people out there, and I think what they're trying to do here with some of the articles in QST kind of help, you know, coddle us into the future with this stuff. Like I say, this is probably, if you've never dealt with any of this, this is probably one of the best I've seen so far. Takes you from basically knowing absolutely nothing about this stuff, and by the end here, you might be writing a program. He's put his little project in the Altoid 10. Mike, do you think we could actually buy these Altoid 10s without the Altoids? I don't know. Are they out there?
You know, I don't know. You'd probably have to have the fun of consuming all of the Altoids and sharing them with your friends. I'm not really sure. That's something I've never even looked for on eBay. You know what? I'm going to do that right now, though. Back to you, Tom.
And obviously, I did consider that as in a sense of humor, but you know what? I'll bet you there's somebody out there selling them. Hey, because if there isn't, there should be. Well, anyway, with this all said, you know, software-defined radios, all good stuff. And one of the greatest things about setting something up like for an experimenter bench like this is you have the basic interface and you've got a program, and you don't have to build another board to do something. You can simply rewrite the program. Do item number B before C, but never after A. What does that mean? Absolutely nothing. But you can change the program and actually change, you know, what your results will end up to be. Or maybe this number isn't really a temperature, maybe it's an air pressure. So now you plug that into and you send it off to a spreadsheet or a graphing program or something like that. Next thing you know, hey, I've been plotting the snowfall this year. By the way, it's down. Not too good. So anyway, well, pretty good there. Bob, anything else you'd like to add? WA6MQS.
No, I'm enjoying this. I've when I worked in the area, my specialty was machine code assembly language, you know, ones and zeros, and but the one chip computers, all of these systems have basically that the same thing. You know, you got the central processor, you've got the memories, and you've got I.O., and then the software takes it to either serial or parallel. And now with the USB port, you don't have to fight things like baud rate. It's automatic clocking, and so it's very easy to talk to devices. Anyway, I'm enjoying it, Tom. Good one.
You know, here's one thing. If you have a smartphone and you notice all the different new features, especially if you have a new smartphone, there's a lot of those, and I've seen this through what we call teardowns. I get these articles that come through just about every phone or tablet or computer product out there. I have a complete teardown list of everything in it, all the steps, everything, every chip, every little morsel in there. With that said, a lot of little small solid-state drives, solid-state hard drives, are in there. They don't advertise that feature because they don't have to, but actually they're in there, and they're not huge, but they are. They're in there, and I would not doubt that you're going to see this start coming out with a new line of chips like this for the experimenter. Not only will it have a little memory, it'll have actually a solid-state hard drive in there, all built on the chip, because they are very small, and you don't need a whole bunch for that. So, well, anyway, pretty neat stuff, and it just gets better the more you look into it. It just gets better and better. Well, anyway, it's getting close to closing here, Mike. Anything else you'd like to add? We've just barely skimmed this topic. Maybe we can get a little bit more into detail next week with a couple of different projects that are out there and go from there. But anyway, Mike, anything else to add in closing?
Boy, Tom, I'm on eBay now, my favorite spot. You know, this guy has sold 292 of these. They're blank 3.9 by 2.5-inch metal tin box survival containers, standard Altoid size. $1.75 each and shipping $2.13. So, yes, they do sell them, and like I say, he sold 292 of them. So, interesting. Back to you, Tom.
Well, there you go, and it does not surprise me whatsoever. So, anyway, there you go. So you don't even have to go buy the Altoids, but you can. I think it'd be, for the price, maybe you get to get the Altoids, too. There must be somebody out there eating a lot of Altoids, Mike. That's all I can say, to get all those boxes out there. Anyway, I'm going to send it over to Bob. Bob, anything else to add in closing?
Well, just... I'll reiterate what you said. If you just have the patience and you're willing to play trial and error, anybody that's ever written a computer program knows that besides having the text editor to write the program, you've got to also figure out what you did wrong and go back and fix it, and that's part of the natural process of programming. And, you know, you just dream up whatever you want to do. You can, if you wanted to type a call letter in and the computer would look it up and see where it was and tell your antenna where to go to point at that area. Anything you can dream up, if you give the instructions to the computer, it'll do it for you. That's it, Tom. Good one. Over.
You know, that's just it. You basically, you're going to find out, and this is probably the first, that any of these chips or things out there, Microchip, Texas Instruments, ON Semiconductor, anybody who makes any of these products, almost all of them, if not all of them, have they have the programming language, everything out there you would need. Tutorials on that. Yeah, no, you don't have to go sit down, and you're not going to take a whole class that's going to last you a year to learn this stuff. But they basically, and they have debuggers out there. What's a debugger? Well, we didn't talk about that, but basically it's another little program to help find out what's wrong with the program you wrote, help you fix it. So all this stuff is generally free. Years ago, they used to charge for it. They found, you know what, if we give this stuff away, people will come back and buy our product. So very smart marketing, and it's made it very easy for us to get to that point. So, all right. Well, anyway, last call. Any questions or comments?
KJ6KDL.
Yes, Jim, go ahead.
I've had my brain somewhere else, kind of half listening, but in the beginning you were making a comment about thermostats. There are internet-controlled wireless interface thermostats, one called the Nest, that's really cute and very expensive. But there's a whole bunch of them out there, and for those of us who want to play around and do stuff like that with something we already have, we can do it. Back in the 80s, I used, and Bob may know this, MQF, I used to help program and create validation algorithms for programmable array logic, and I have some chips actually in front of me that was in my drawer. A couple of them are military-grade ceramic cases from MMI, and it's basically putting in some code to make a decision for you. Kind of like doing a spreadsheet, like you were mentioning earlier. Why keep recalculating when you can put your math in a cell and type in some numbers and have the answers come out? This is kind of making decisions for you and putting voltages on pins, and you steer it where you want, and it does what you want. KJ6KDL.
Yeah, KFS2 here, Tech Tuesday in the group. Every Tuesday that we can. Well, Jim, that's right. And actually, the PLAs are programmable logic arrays. PLAs were probably one of the first steps into this area years ago. And then, of course, they just have gone on to making incredible leaps and bounds. Cortex this stuff we're talking about tonight is just basically 101 of the products out there. There's a lot of good stuff, and like I said, even with what's out there, the first thing would be daunting. A lot of these things are not that expensive. If you buy the pre-done boards, like I think Mike was saying there, $26, $30, $50, $40, in that range. But there's a lot of stuff you can build yourself and still use their programming software. You know, so there's a lot of different stuff there to use and go from there. So anyway, one last call for questions and comments. All right, well anyway, this is a little bit deep side this evening with what we're talking about here, but it's kind of neat. I really encourage people to look into this stuff because you get past that little bit of a learning curve, there's a lot of neat stuff to be done and a lot of good stuff you could help. You monitor your radio station anywhere from SWR, power output. There's a lot of sensors. You can feed this back in and kind of monitor if something goes awry or something like that. So a lot of good uses there. So anyway, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. Thanking everybody tonight who has participated, and if you listened up, hope this has helped you with a little bit of that computer edge of electronics and radio, and we'll be returning in 100 hours and 52 minutes. Thanks again. Hope to see you all next week. This is KF6Q.